It's all about grace, isn't it? And as we think of God's grace, I mean, we're nothing. And if it wasn't for His grace, there wouldn't be any hope for any of us. And it's just, that was a really nice song. Really enjoyed that. It's a real pleasure to be here again this evening with you. It just seems to fly by. This year, it's a year ago since we were standing in this pulpit, and it's just flown by, and it's really nice to be back again with you. We really do appreciate the opportunity to be here and explain some of the things that have been happening. Marina has covered some of those areas, some of the practical aspects of the ministry that we're involved in Burkina Faso and Ivory Coast. And but I was thinking this evening I was going to maybe cover some preach to you almost. I'm not really a preacher, to be honest. I'm not. I teach the Word of God in Ivory Coast, and I enjoy doing that. But I'm not a preacher guy. I mean, some of these guys can just comes out of them, just easy for them. But it doesn't come easy for me. But I've been thinking over the past few weeks, maybe 6-7 weeks, about some aspects of missionary work, and wondering, you know, how could we define missionary work? What could we, what words could we use to harness it, to try to encapsulate the meaning of missionary work? And when you talk about missions and missionary work and things like that, different people think of a variety of things. And in some areas there is confusion. There are some aspects of missionary work, and people are wondering, is this really missionary work or not? And there is an aspect of confusion. And as we think of missionary work, I wanted just to take a short time this evening. Our time's gone, but we're just going to look at a few points, a few words, principles, concepts that kind of sum up what missionary work is all about. And the Apostle Paul, of course, was a missionary par excellence. He was a man who gives us an example of what a missionary is and what a missionary should do, and the involvement or the things that a missionary should be involved in. He was missionary-minded. It was his main goal in life to bring the gospel to those who had never heard. He was driven. He had a purpose. It was an agenda that controlled his every activity in his life. And as we think of being missionary-minded, you know, we think of some Christians are missionary-minded, and it's almost like some sort of a psychological problem that they have. I mean, there's a little group of people over here who are missionary-minded, but as we look at Scripture, we realize that everyone should have an interest in missionary work and what is going on. So, we're going to look at five words real quickly, and it'll help us to recognize what some of the basic principles, some of the basic precepts, elements, are components of what missionary work is all about. And of course, the first thing about missionary work is about the preaching of the gospel, the proclamation of the gospel. And in the portion that was read earlier on, Mr. Elliott read for us, and he read Romans 15, and there's in verse 20 there it says, "Yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel." And the Apostle Paul, that was his focus in life, was to preach the gospel. And that's a bit obvious or redundant almost to say, well, it's missionary work is about preaching the gospel. But we live in a world today when there are certain popular buzzwords that are floating around that mitigate against preaching the gospel. We hear words multiculturalism and pluralism and tolerance and relieving suffering and social work and humanitarian work and broad-mindedness and equality and alternative lifestyles. And we hear about all these different things that are going on in the world, and there's an opposition to the preaching of the gospel, to the clear presentation of the gospel. And it's interesting to notice that those who talk most about tolerance are sometimes the most intolerant people, especially when it comes to preaching about Christ and presenting Christ as the only Savior, or the Word of God being absolute truth. These people become very intolerant whenever we start talking in those kind of terms. So, missionary work is about preaching the gospel, about proclaiming the gospel, bringing the gospel to those who have never heard, presenting Christ as the only answer. We need to raise the bar. The Apostle Paul says, I have strived to preach the gospel. We live in a day and age when sound bites are all important. Politicians, they before they're interviewed, they have to think what they're going to say, and they'll try to think of a little catchy phrase or something that will catch people's attention, and they'll say it, and they hope it'll hook. And there's a little phrase that I've heard a couple of times since we've come home in November, this past 6 or 7 weeks, and it was actually. Somebody told me it was said by John Wesley, but I didn't think that was right, so I looked it up, and it was actually Francis of Assisi who said it, so I thought the red flag started going up. So, but he said, go out, he was a monk, by the way, Francis of Assisi was a monk, he said, go out and preach the gospel, and if you have to, use words. Right? That's a catchy little thing, okay? Go out and preach the gospel, and if you have to, use words. But I want to tell you, you cannot preach the gospel without words. And you can do all sorts of things to present a Christian life and a Christian outlook and a Christian attitude, but it takes words to communicate the gospel of Christ. And we as believers need to be presenting the gospel clearly with words from the Word of God. The gospel is not obtained by some sort of osmosis where we just sort of absorb it and it becomes it's an unconscious thing that's related to our mind. The gospel needs to be presented. We can live lives that are good Christian lives, Christ-exalting lives, and we can be salt and light in the world. But without the preaching of the gospel, the message becomes unclear, it's fuzzy, it's ambiguous. And it's only through the clear presentation of the gospel that the gospel is properly can be properly presented. Now, in Scripture or in translation, Marina was talking a little bit about the translation work that we've been doing. And it's just a thrill to be able to spend day after day in the Word of God and studying the Word of God and studying words from the Word of God. And we're going through Acts. We translated Acts over this past year, the book of Acts. 1,000 verses. And the word preach is in the book of Acts, and as you look through it in English, this word preach keeps preaching or preach or preach keeps popping up. But the interesting thing is that for one English word, the word preach, there are five words in Greek that are used in the Greek language, and the word that's translated into preach, there are actually five different Greek words. Now, I'm not going to go through them, we haven't time even to start looking at those sort of things. But all of them express a concept of expressing it with words the gospel. Heralding, proclaiming, publishing, announcing good news, to bring a message, to declare, to explain, to utter, to tell, to speak, to show, to speak of, to teach. So we need to be using words to present the gospel. And we need to be presenting the gospel clearly. You know, there's an emphasis today on improving the quality of life in the world. There's a lot of missionary work going on, Christian work going on, that focuses its attention on improving the quality of life. But we have to be involved in bringing the gospel. You know, I'm not against helping people. Like in Ivory Coast, in Burkina Faso, we have helped people with AIDS. Just recently we helped a family where the husband had AIDS and we're trying to help the wives. We've helped people who are hungry. We have helped people who are sick and have to go to the hospital. Many of the great humanitarian movements in the world were started by Christians. So we are to be involved in those kind of things. But the important thing is we need to be focusing on the gospel, presenting the gospel, preaching the gospel, bringing the gospel to people and clearly explaining that Christ is the only answer. In Laurent work, in our villages, we have seen a tremendous change in the whole social fabric of the villages that we've had contact with. Whenever we first went into the village in 1987, the babies that were born, at least 50% would die before they were 3 or 4 years old. Now, it's an exception. If a baby dies, it's an exception rather than the rule that they actually live now. And when a baby dies, it's an unusual event. And it's just basic health care and just the basic care for the children. So there's been a huge drop in infant mortality. Handicapped children who before were killed whenever they were born are allowed to live. Parents are sending their children to school. Children are being educated. Children are being vaccinated. They're being brought to the hospital if they need treatment. Farming techniques have really come on. There are modern farming techniques now being used in the villages. Now, it's not farming, not modern in relation to what we use, but they use oxen now, which has increased the output of food. So it's good for us to be involved in those practical aspects, but life is fleeting. And there's an eternity to face, and we need to be presenting the gospel. When the focus is on education, or health, or living standards, or food supply, our focus is off the main purpose of missionary work, which is to present Christ as the only answer. That when Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life," he meant it. And he is the only way for people to become Christians. So we make no apology for preaching the gospel, for presenting the gospel, presenting the word of God from Genesis right through to when Christ suffered on the cross and rose again from the dead. We present that, and that's our focus, and that's what we want to do. So the first thing about missionary work, first word that we want to remember is it's about the preaching of the gospel, about the proclamation of the gospel. Another focus or another key element in missionary work is pioneer work. Paul says, "I have strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named." And he focused his attention on areas in the known world at that time, on areas, on people who had never had an opportunity to hear the gospel. His whole focus, his whole incentive was to get the gospel to those who had never heard, at the expense of other Christians. He wanted to go and visit the Christians in Rome, and I'm sure other areas, but he was focusing on his attention on bringing the gospel to those who had never heard, who had never had the opportunity to hear the gospel. As we look around the world today, it's pushing 7 billion people. It just keeps increasing. There are 3,000 tribes around the world who have never once had an opportunity of hearing the gospel. 20% of the population of this world have never heard the name of Christ in a gospel context. And we need to be involved. There are still vast tracts of the world where you can go mile after mile after mile through, from one language group to the next language group to the next language group, where there are no Christians, there's no scripture, there are no churches. They have never heard the gospel of Christ. So missionary work is about pioneering, about bringing the gospel to those who have never heard. We've lived in Africa for just over 20 years, and sometimes I have to shake my head and wonder, is there any hope for Africa? You look at AIDS, and there are 40 million people who are infected with the HIV virus around the world. 25 million of those are in Africa, in sub-Saharan Africa. Kenya, just in this past week, has exploded. I mean, we've seen horrific scenes on our TVs. Things that just, it seemed normal, it seemed calm, and then just out of the blue. They reckon that the money that has been spent on all the wars in Africa in this past 40 years is the same amount of money that has been given as aid to Africa. Just last week, I noticed a chart from the UN. They have Burkina Faso is now the second poorest country in the world. So you wonder, is there any hope for Africa? And when you think in human terms, in economic terms, in political terms, you have to wonder. But they still need to hear the gospel. They still need to hear what Christ has done for them. I want to take you in your mind to a little village, if you can just imagine with me, down to a little village in southwest Burkina Faso. Marina mentioned the village. It's called Nyoha. And that name for the village means thirsty place. And it's the well named because there's no water about there, are no rivers, and it's in, you go down the road and then off the main road and along this little track, and there's a valley and there's hills going up to the side, and you bump along for a couple of kilometres and you arrive at the village and there's 600 or 700 people who live in this village, and there's no running water, there's no electricity, there's no telephones, no schools, no medical facilities, no shops, and the people eke out a living just to survive. They go out in their fields with little hand hoes and they start digging and try to grow some corn or millet so that they can exist for the following year. They've never heard the gospel of Christ. Laurent people, it's a huge Laurent village. There are no big Laurent villages like this in Ivory Coast, Burkina Faso, this huge village. But as you look across Africa, you could probably find hundreds of villages just like that. You look across in Southeast Asia and South America, it's the same. 20% of the world has never had an opportunity to hear the gospel of Christ. So missionary work is about preaching. It's about pioneering. Missionary work is also about partnership. The Apostle Paul here, and we don't have to reread the verses, but the Apostle Paul is talking about believers helping others. And Paul was a member of a team. He wasn't just out there as a lone ranger, as an independent missionary doing what he wanted to do. He was working with other believers, other Bible teachers, for the benefit of believers and also for the benefit of those who had never had the opportunity. But there was a group of people which was helping Paul in his ministry. They were at home staying by the stuff, if you like. They were there, and missionaries need a support team. Missionaries go off, that we went off to Africa, and other missionaries go to different parts of the world, but we need people at home who are praying for us, who give towards the ministry, who are publicizing what we're trying to do, what God is doing in Africa and other parts of the world. People who are back home encouraging those who have gone. But missionary work isn't just about those who go, it's about those who send out the missionaries, those who stay behind. And every Christian should be involved in some way in missionary work. It's no excuse saying, I can't do this or that. Every Christian has to be involved in some way in missionary work. Now, I want to just give a word of warning. You know, we've, in the past, you know, people promise things. People said, you know, we'll pray for you or we'll support you. But don't ever say something that you don't really mean. If you tell a missionary, I'm going to pray for you, or I'm going to support you, make sure that you do, you're willing to do it. Make sure you're serious about what you say you're going to do. Because we're all supposed to be involved in missionary work. And if we say, give promises, and then we renege on them, it leads to discouragement. It leads to missionaries. And we've seen missionaries in Africa who their home church maybe has said they're going to be behind them or different, and then they've arrived on the field and they've struggled. I mean, really had a hard time. So if you make a promise, make sure you're willing to follow through on it. But God wants us to go. God is interested in getting us up and out of our seat and getting out and bringing the gospel to where it has never been preached. You know, when you look at the Word of God, and what the commands that Christ gave, it was always go, go, go. And there are some examples, and a couple last week we were listening about when David went off with his men, and there were a third of the people who stayed behind, stayed by the stuff. But they were weak, and they had no strength, and they couldn't go. So one third of them stayed behind with the stuff, and two thirds of them went out to the front lines. And we need to remember that God wants us to go. He wants us to be getting out, to be going, and to be involved. And those who do stay behind, that we get behind with a whole heart and help and encourage those who are going to the front line. You know, involvement in missionary work is not an optional extra for a Christian. It's not like going into the showroom from the two car sales and you want a couple of extra spots on there, you want a sunroof. It's not something, I mean, Missionary work is something that every Christian should be involved in. It's not like having a new computer with a little bit of extra RAM or something. It's not an option, an optional extra. It's something that every Christian should be involved in. God has a missionary heart. There are missionary-minded people, and every Christian should be involved in some way with missions. Praying, giving, helping and encouraging, publicizing, going. We're all to be involved. And we're talking about sacrifice here. We're talking about obedience to the Word of God. We're talking about involvement in missionary work. So missionary work is about preaching. It's about pioneering. It's about partnership. Missionary work is also about prayer. Luke 10, verse 2, "Therefore saith he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore that the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest." God, when Jesus said that, he was telling his disciples to pray for laborers. "Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest." The Apostle Paul, in numerous occasions, talked about or asked the brethren to pray for us. As we think of Romans 15, as we read this here, Paul said, "Now I beseech you that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me." Paul is encouraging Christians to be praying along with him for the work that he is involved in. The word "strive" means to be a partner with, to struggle together with, to stand with, to fight, and to labor fervently together with someone for some objective. So Paul is encouraging the believers to strive together with him, to be with him in the struggle as they try to bring the gospel to those who have never heard. Marina has given some examples about how prayer has changed things, how the gospel has been presented in Ivory Coast. People have responded. I mean, we're talking 400 people who are now Christians, who weren't 10 years ago. I mean, we're talking about a tribe 14 years ago. There were no Christians in that tribe. Now there are almost 400. 8 or maybe 9 churches established. Bible teachers going out, 12, 14, 15 Bible teachers going out and teaching in different fellowships and outreach works. We just praise the Lord. The Word of God available in the language. And it's all been accomplished through prayer. People have been praying in Bethany here for years, for decades. We left here in August 1981. And before we left, we were sent out to the Bible school and spent 4 years in training and then the rest of the time on the field. And people have been praying. We appreciate your prayers. And missionary work is about prayer. It's about people praying, about people being involved in prayer for the work that God is doing on the mission field. Our last point, our last word, our component or element of missionary work that I have is missionary work is about people. It's about you and me. It's about ordinary people. Missionaries tend to throw out figures. I mean, I can throw out 20% and 7 billion and 3,000 tribes. But God is interested in people, individual, one by one people. And we need to be interested in individual people. We need to be interested in what God is interested in. He's not interested, he's interested in the whole tribe, but he's concerned about the individual. And God wants to work through us to bring the gospel to individuals. In Laurent, in our villages, we work with people one on one. We work with small groups, but we know them all, and we want to present the gospel to people. And God uses ordinary people to accomplish his work around the world. Marina and I are just ordinary people. When we left here, we were just ordinary people. 1 Corinthians 1:27 through 29. "God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world, and things which are despised, hath God chosen. Yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his sight. We're nothing. It's all of grace. We in ourselves have no power, no strength, nothing. We're, no matter how educated a person is or how capable a person is, it really doesn't amount to anything. To a hill of beans, as our partner used to say. It's worth nothing. It's only by God's grace. By God taking weak people, weak and foolish in the eyes of the world, and taking us and filling us with his Spirit so that we can go out and do things that we would never have dreamt of. And God can use ordinary people. He does use ordinary people. He could have used the seas or nature. He could have used angels to go and preach the gospel to people, but he has chosen people. He has chosen you and me to go out and to bring the gospel to those who have never heard. As we translated the book of Acts, it was amazing. It struck me. It was talking about individuals. I mean, we were talking about Peter and John and Stephen and Philip and Timothy, and there's a whole list, Saul, who became Paul, and Felix, and Dorcas, and Lydia, and Barnabas, and John Mark. It just went on and on. There were individual people, and God takes people. And he wants us to bring the gospel to other people. They may be a different language, they may be the same language, but he uses people. And missionary work is about people. It's not about figures and numbers and charts and all this sort of stuff. God wants to use us to bring the gospel to those who have never heard. So, what are you going to do about it? There's a bunch of young people up here, and I just praise the Lord for the young people. And what are you going to do about it? I mean, there are 20% of the world hasn't heard. And 3,000 tribes with millions of people who have never heard. And God wants us to be preaching in the gospel. He wants us to be involved in pioneer work. He wants us to be in partnership with missionaries, or even going out as missionaries ourselves. He wants us to be praying for missionary work, be involved in prayer. He wants us to be involved in people's lives. And I'd ask you to ask the Lord, where will you have me go? Where do you want me to? Should it be in Portadown as a missionary working among Portuguese people, or Polish or Lithuanians, or somewhere else? But God wants us to be involved in missionary work. No matter how small a thing it is, he wants us to be involved in some way. If we pray, he wants us to pray more. If we give, he wants us to give more. If we're involved a little bit with witnessing and testifying to people, he wants us to be involved more than we are today. So I would challenge you, I challenge each one of us here tonight, ask God to show us where he would have us go, what he would want us to do to bring the gospel to those who have never heard.